course, you know by now that today is Family Day. I mentioned it in Sunday school, but I want to mention it again and use it sort of as an introduction to my message this morning. Brother Leonard came to me about 8 years ago and said, you know, preacher, my mom's birthday is about this time of year. I got all my brothers and sisters that come up this way, and you think it'd be okay if I just had a big day in Sunday school and promoted a big attendance, and that way get all my brothers and sisters to come to Sunday school and they'll stay for church? I said, oh, that's a good idea. And so ever since, about the last Sunday in July, we've had a big push for Sunday school. A few years ago, we started calling it Family Day. And I'm so glad that many of you invited members of your family and that you came to be with us today. You know, being part of a family brings special privileges. Privileges that are not available to those that are not part of the family. Privileges that are only available if you are a member of that family. And so this morning I want to preach a message that I've entitled Family Privileges. Family Privileges. And I'm going to mention the things that I'm going to say in the context of an earthly family, but then I'm going to concentrate on how these things are available to us, these privileges that are available to us, if we're a member of the family of God, if we're saved, if we know Jesus as our Savior, if we have a hope for heaven because of that. Now, some of you may be here this morning and you say, well, preacher, I'm not a member of that family because I've never been saved. Is there any reason for me to stay? And I would tell you, yes, there is, because after you hear about the privileges that come to those that are members of the family of God, you might say to yourself, hey, those are pretty good things. I'd like to get in on them. And I guarantee you, before I get done this morning, if you're not a member of the family of God, I'll tell you how to become a member. In fact, Adam read it. You read it in that verse that we read from John chapter 1, verse 12, where the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I'll come back to that verse in just a minute and talk about how you can become a member of this family that many of us belong to this morning, and make available to yourself all the privileges that I'm going to talk about. So when you're, and I got seven of them, so you can sort of keep track of where I am. You don't have to look at your watch and say, is he almost done? Is it almost 12 o'clock? Just keep track of the numbers, and I'll make sure that we get out pretty close to our normal time, if not on our normal time. All right, so when you are part of a family, number one, you get to bear the family name. When I was born to my mother and my father, I became part of the Manning family, and ever since that day, I have bore the Manning family name. Now, when you become part of the family of God, you also bear the family name. In Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, we read in the book of Revelation about the Antichrist, and it tells us in the book of Revelation that there's going to come a time when the Antichrist comes and rules on this earth for a while, that we will not be able to buy and sell unless we have his number somewhere on our head or on our hand or someplace on our body. And the Bible tells us it's the number of a man, 666. That's the number of the Antichrist. And again, there'll come a time when we will not be able to buy or sell unless we bear that number. And whoever bears that number on their forehead will end up in the fiery, bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. You see, those that bear the number are not part of the family of God. They belong to their father, Satan, and will end up the same place that he will end up one day, in the devil's hell. But those of us who are part of the family of God, one day we will see a pure river of the water of life. One day, those of us that are part of the family of God will be in that place where the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, the throne of Christ, exist. One day we will see that tree of life whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. And we'll be in that place where there is no more curse, no night. And his name, the Bible says, shall be in their forehead. Not a number, but a name. I was thinking this week, I wonder which name of the Lamb it will be. Which name will be on our forehead? Will it be the name Emmanuel? That name that means God with us? That reminds us that God left heaven and came to dwell among men? Will it be the name Emmanuel? Will it be the name Truth? Because he is the truth in this world of lies. Our Savior is the truth. Will it be life? Because in this world of death, he is life. Or will it be the name Savior? Because he is our Savior. I don't know what name it will be, but I tell you what, I'd much rather have a name than a number, because the number means you're going to hell, and the name means you get to go to heaven and reside with God forever and ever and ever and ever. And so when you're part of the family of God, you get to bear his name, the family name. Number two, when you're part of God's family, or when you're part of any family, you enjoy the family relationships. We have several large families in our church, and they tell me when they get together for reunions, and they always come back so excited, getting to see all their brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. They just have a great time. We have some families in our church where there's only one child. And when they get together with their family, they come back and say the same thing. They say what a good time it has been to be together and enjoy each other's company. See, it doesn't matter the size of your family. There is a special relationship that exists in a family. Family may have friends, and a family may have acquaintances that are closely associated with their family, but there's some things that only members of the family get to enjoy. Things like love. You know, in families, we're supposed to love one another, brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles, grandparents and grandchildren. Families love one another. They care for one another. I mean, when one has a problem, they all have a problem. When one has a need, they all have a need. They accept one another just the way they are. I mean, there may be faults in the family. There may be faults and flaws with certain members of the family, and they will pray for that person. But the bottom line, they're a member of the family, and they will be accepted by that family. And they forgive one another. And they enjoy being around one another. Again, doesn't matter the size of the family. I've had people come back to me, part of a large family, come back part of a small family. And when they get together as a family, they just enjoy being around one another. Do you know those same things exist and are true about the family of God? As family members of the family of God, we love one another. The Bible says, and Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. And being part of a family of God, we're a part of a family that loves one another. Being a part of the family of God, we're a part of the family that cares for one another. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. And so when one of us has a burden, we all have a burden. And God calls upon us to bear those burdens of others. We accept one another. just the way we are. Yeah, some of us have warts and some of us have things that we wish weren't part of our lives, and we pray for those things to go away and come go out of our life. But in the family of God, we're accepted, and God the Father accepts us just the way we are. Teresa saying it a moment ago, come just like you are. That's how God wants us to come. Now, he'll want us to grow, and he'll want us to, to get some things out of our life and put some things into our life, but that's not any qualification for being part of the family of God. That takes place after you become a member of the family of God. He'll take us just like we are and accept us just like we are. In the family of God, we forgive one another. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, the Bible says. And then we enjoy being around one another. You know, you people quote all the time that verse in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But you know what I've discovered about this place? People don't come because they have to. People come because they want to. I'm not here because of my duty this morning. You say, no, you're here because you're the preacher. You got to be here. No. Well, that may be true, but I'm not here because I have to be here this morning. I'm here because I want to be here this morning. There's not a place in the world that I'd rather be than this place this morning. We love to be around one another. I mean, sometimes when the service is over, I just tell the people that are still here, last one out, turn the lights out, I'm going home. Because we like to fellowship so much. And when you're part of the family of God, there's a special relationship that you have with other Christians that we need. That people that are not part of the family, they just don't understand what we have or what we're talking about. Number three, when you're part of a family, you know the family secrets. It may be about great Uncle Jesse. Nobody outside of the family knows about great Uncle Jesse, but everybody inside the family knows about Uncle Jesse. It may be great-great-grandpa. If the world knew what great-great-grandpa was, oh, we would be in trouble. But only the family members know about great-great-grandpa, and we don't talk to anybody about great-great-grandpa. It's a family secret. I'm jesting a little bit. You don't have to look so serious. Hey, I have family secrets, and I'm sure you have family secrets. You know what? When we're a member of the family of God, we get in on all the family secrets. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, he revealeth his secret unto his servants. In John, chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And when we're part of the family of God, God reveals things to us through this book that only come to the members of God. Those that don't know Jesus as their Savior can read the same book, the same words, the same verses, and not get anything out of it. But we have the author, the one that wrote the book, that's living inside of us. And when we read it, he says, hey, let me let you in on the secret. Let me tell you what it means. And we get to know the family secrets. Number four, when you're part of a family, you are under the family and father's care. Just like in an earthly family, dad and mom care for the children. So God cares for the children that are in his family. He provides for our needs. The Bible says, take no thought saying, what shall ye eat or what shall ye drink or wherewith shall ye be clothed? Your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You have a father as a member of the family of God that knows everything that you need. Everything. There's not a need in your life that God doesn't know about. And the Bible says he is responsible for meeting those needs. He said, don't worry about them. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. I know that you need all these things. I'll take care of them. You seek my righteousness. You seek my kingdom first. And I'll make sure that every need in your life, every need is met. When we're part of the family of God, we're under the Father's care. And he goes with us through every trial. Every single one of us have hurts and heartaches. Some nobody else knows what they are. But every single one of us have hurts and heartaches. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we get in the middle of a trial and a heartache, and we think nobody cares. Nobody comes and comforts us. Nobody comes and speaks to us. And maybe it's because we haven't told anybody. But we feel all alone. And we sometimes look to heaven and we say, God, why have you let this come into my life? Why have you allowed this to happen in my life? Why would you put me through this? And God sometimes, or a lot of times, doesn't answer the question why. But God is always there. When you can feel him and when you can't feel him. And when you can see him and when you can't see him. And when you can hear him and when you can't hear him. He is always there. He promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. And in the middle of your heartache and in the middle of your trial, you remember you have a God that keeps every promise. And when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that promise is for you. And he'll never leave us and forsake us. And regardless of what we're going through, we have a God that loves us. And like that poem says, footprints in the sand. Sometimes we look back in our life and we see two sets of footprints, us and God walking together. And sometimes we look back and we only see one. We say, why, God? Why did you forsake me? And he says, no, I didn't forsake you. That's when I was carrying you. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And he comforts us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations. I'll remind you this morning real quickly, you have a God that knows what you're going through. He's there with you, and he will comfort you. And that's one of the privileges that you have as a member of the family of God. You are cared for by the Father. Number 5, when you're part of the family of God, you'll always be a part of the family of God. You know, sometimes families grow apart. Grandma dies and the kids quit getting together. I remember when my grandmothers were alive, one Sunday we were over one, and one Sunday we were over the other. My dad had two sisters and a brother, and so I had lots of cousins, and every other week I was with those cousins. My mom's sister died when she was young, and so it was just the three of us, but every other Sunday we'd go over there and be with her. You know, since my grandma on my dad's side died, we hardly ever get together. In fact, I saw some cousins a week ago yesterday, haven't seen for years and years and years. And sometimes family grow apart. Sometimes it just happens, and sometimes things come between families and they don't enjoy the fellowship that they used to have. But I want to tell you something about the family of God. Once you're a member of it, you'll always be a member of it. There is nothing that can separate you from that family relationship. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there is nothing and nobody Not good English, but good preaching. There is nothing or nobody that will separate us from the love of God and what we have as a member of the family of God. Number six, I got to hurry. When we're part of God's family, there'll always be a place for you at home. You know, kids leave home. Sometimes mom and dad keep their room intact. I mean, they don't move anything. They got all the trophies and all the awards and the diplomas and the toys and everything they had as a kid. And so when they come back home, they can just go right back into the room and stay the same place. But as families get bigger, and sometimes as mom and dad have to downsize, that child's room becomes a sewing room or a den or a study. And sometimes the child's family becomes so big that when they come home, they all won't fit in the room anyway. And that place that we had as children, that was our room at our parents' home, no longer exists. But in the family of God, you remember what Jesus said? He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I've heard that place in heaven described as a mansion. I've heard that place in heaven described as a nest. I've heard lots of things about that place in heaven. And this morning, I'll simply say, it's a place that once you get it, you'll never lose it. You know, my mom and dad had the audacity to move from my childhood home when I was about 45, 46 years old. I had to learn a new phone number. In fact, I still haven't learned it. I plugged it into my phone, and when I call them, I just push a button. I can remember the old one just like I can remember my name. I can't go back to my childhood home. But the home that I have in heaven, I'll never, ever lose. And then number seven, when you're part of a family, you are an heir. I saw a bumper sticker a couple weeks ago. "I am spending my children's inheritance." I honked the horn. Amen. Amen. And again, you know, you all have your trust and your wills, and I don't know. Nobody's ever talked to me about their trust or their will, and so I can speak with complete freedom this morning. I don't know what mom, dad's leaving you. I mean, they may be leaving you everything they got, or they may be leaving you nothing. I have no idea. But I know one thing. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind. He owns the rivers and the rocks and hills, the sun and moon that shines. And they're all mine. Because I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm sure there's a lot more family privileges that you and I could think of if we took the time to do it. And you may be here this morning and say, "Hey, preacher, you know, some of those sound pretty good. I'd like to get in on them. How do I do that?" Well, I'll direct you back to that verse that I read as we started. "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And if you go back and you look in the Greek, that word sons means children. "To them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." I want to remind you this morning that every single one of us were created to be a part of that family. When you were made by God, when he had you born, when you came into this world, however you want to say it, God's plan for you was to be part of his family. Now, sin messed up God's plan. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, where we're separated from God. So God made us to be part of his family, wants us to be part of his family. But when we decided to disobey him, we disqualified ourselves from being part of that family. But Jesus, when he went to Calvary, the Bible says that God laid on him every one of my sins, every single one of them. And when he died and suffered what he did on the cross, he paid the price of all of my sins. And the Bible says that if I'll believe that, believe in his name, believe on him, believe that he did die and pay for all my sins, and I ask him, he'll save me. He'll give me that power to become a child of God. And there's no better family to be a member of. There's some wonderful families in our church. Sometimes they invite me to be part of their functions, and I always am so appreciative that they've included me to be part of their family. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing like being part of the family of God. Nothing. And if you're here today and your sin still separates you from being part of that family, I will point you to the one that, if you'll receive him, will give you power to become the sons of God. I'll point you to Jesus, because he paid for every sin. Would you receive him this morning? Say, how do I do that? Well, you just tell the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And if you don't think you're a sinner, come see me after the service. I don't know some of you, but I think in a couple seconds I could help you see that you're a sinner. But just tell him, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe what I heard this morning, that Jesus died for sinners, and I want him to save me. I want him to save me right now. He will. Everybody that comes, he will. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the word. Thank you for what it teaches us. Thank you for letting us be a part of that family. And I pray if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, that they'll come. We can take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, just help them right where they are. To just voice a prayer. I know I'm a sinner. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. But I believe that Jesus died for me. Save me. Save me. And Father, if they pray that prayer, help them in just a minute to come down and share their decision with the rest of us. Speak to the many Christians that are here. Help us to rejoice in what we have in God's family. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.